Welcome to Stories of COVID, the interview project that explores what it's like to experience a global pandemic.
I never thought I would see this in my lifetime.
It is scary and it's very real, but it's not hopeless.
As I said, I changed 3 planes. None of them were wearing any gloves or masks.
I've never seen so much support for freelancers or artists in the media as I have now.
They both laid me off from just the advent of the outbreak.
I'm anthropologist and author Veronica Curran, and I am building an interview archive of stories and anecdotes that define this time in history to write a book preserving this experience for future generations. If you'd like to help preserve this moment in history for future generations, check out the show notes to sign up for an interview. Rita has a household of 9. When schools closed, the first thing that they were worried about was making sure that the kids had access to their classes. They had to expand their tech assets and were thankful that they had the means to do so. They had to shift how they were eating every day. They had to shift how much food was in the house, what activities were available for the kids, and how they managed the cabin fever that came with lockdown. Rita explains that on the first night of lockdown in Lisbon, one of her kids asked her a typical question that any teenager would ask their parent in such a situation. How did you handle the last lockdown? This time, though, these parents didn't have an answer.
I was living in Lisbon, where I'm now. We were actually in the same house. So we heard some buzz and we made fun of it, of course, with some sort of virus coming in from China. Then we made some jokes about the last time this had happened in Europe and how we tried to buy, I think it was Tamiflu, but we couldn't get enough resources of that. But no big deal, you know. We didn't change our way of being, nothing. It was on the news. A lot of things are on the news nowadays that you don't really give any importance to it. When we really got concerned about it, yes, I remember it very clearly. And it was all very quick from not wanting to deal with that because we didn't think it was such a problem till it really hit us, right? I went to Austria for skiing late January. And everybody was, it was really crowded and it was a big, you know, really, really a big thing there. And everybody was starting to talking really seriously about the virus and maybe we shouldn't be in such places with so many people. The concern got bigger, but you still didn't care about that. Then I came back to Portugal. This was really late January, late February. We were dealing with an operator to travel to India in the summer. And since there was a buzz about the COVID, right, we asked that operator, what happens if, and they just answered us back saying, well, we don't think we'll get, we don't think that will be a problem, but in case you can be refunded and you can use that to another trip in the future. I said, can I see the contract, please? Because I thought this is just not a concern. Something could happen and I want to ensure that. So this was my really big alert. I want to see the contract. And we didn't actually. We had tickets bought for India. We had everything looked after, but we didn't close the deal with the operator. We were renting a bike there to tour there. But we didn't firm contract because of that. And then later, early March, it was, either the 8th or the 7th, we were going to Madrid to Arco the Art Fair. We made some jokes about should we wear masks at the airport or should we not? So we took the masks, but nobody was wearing them at the airport. And we spent the whole weekend in Madrid, going to bars and pubs. And again, it was very crowded and nobody would make care of that. And we arrived from Madrid on Monday, and on Tuesday morning, my brother called me and he said, look, I knew the thing in the news would come hit us. They've just called us from school, and his kids are at the same school that mine, right? Okay. And they just called us from schools. One of the kids from Manel's, which is his son, Manel's class, got sick. They're closing down the school. And then my kids start calling me one at a time. They're closing down the school. They're closing down the school. What should we do? What should we do? And I remember being, it's very funny, because I remember being at lunch with my husband. And we were in this very beautiful spot in Lisbon, overlooking the Lisbon Hill. It's very beautiful. I say, I think we might have to do something about this COVID thing. For instance, schools are closing down. It seems that kids are going to be home. Maybe your mother shouldn't have the housekeeper on the house. So it was the first time we thought of changing something. Then, of course, by the end of the day, kids arrive at home and say, we're going to stay at home. We don't know how long for. And it turned out that it was for 3 months, at least here in Portugal. Okay, that was it. That's when it hit us all. I mean, we were very lucky because none of us, I didn't get anyone personally from my closest family or dearest friends with COVID, or at least I mean, they had COVID, but no one really suffered from it. So I was not, I mean, strongly hit by COVID. I don't know how bad can it be. Having said so, at the time when kids came into the house, we had one concern. Actually, we had three concerns. One was the internet. The other was to get enough food supplies because we had 9 people living in the house, right? And the other was that everybody had a laptop to work with. And then, of course, we had to stay in the house because by then it was mandatory. We were very compliant with all the laws, but we were never really in panic with it as we are today, right? So if we have to travel, we will travel. Of course, we know we'll have to do PCRs. Whenever we were called to do the vaccine, we went and did the vaccine. We just obey the orders. It makes our life slightly different from what it was before, but I'm not too concerned about it. We are living a paradigm shift, so I think our society is going to change because of that. I'm not scared, it's just, it's going to be different, and we can sense it in lots of ways, very lots of ways actually, but it is what it is. You'll have to deal with it while it's very active. Hopefully, one day it will be just something out of ordinary life. It's pretty mild. We have like 6 to 10 deaths per day of COVID. In my country, nearly 90% of population is vaccinated. So it's not so much of concern that people are vaccinated or not. And we're allowed in the streets. We allowed into conferences, events, museums. We can go to restaurants. You don't even have to show your certificate anymore because since most of the population, we have to wear masks. For instance, I go to the gym every day and we have to wear a mask the moment I get into the gym till the moment I get into the gym class. Okay? It's like in public areas, you wear the mask, but that's how bad it is for me. When we went in lockdown, it affected us all very much. We have a house full of young people and us. We had at the time 2 maids who help us do the cleaning, and they didn't came by then, of course. And as you can imagine, cooking for 9 people, cleaning a house of 9 people, do the laundry. So we had a very tight schedule, me and the kids. Each one of us had to perform specific tasks in order to keep up sanity, physical and mental sanity. We also have a garden, so we could come outside. We didn't have to stay in the house, right? So at the very worst, when the lockdown was very heavy and you could not go on the street, for us it was still okay. It was still bearable, right? And of course, the first severe lockdown was in March. March is a wonderful May in Portugal. We have the sun and you could come out, and it was not that bad. I was very concerned personally, because of course I'm an entrepreneur and I live on my clients. I have to find, so to speak, new clients all the time, right? And if you're confined to your house, to your space, I thought it would be very difficult to do that, to book an appointment, appointments with new clients that you don't know, and you have to face a client that you don't know in a Zoom. So that's pretty odd, right? You don't know how to perform. There's no physical attachment to anyone. I thought it would be very difficult. And in fact, the first couple of meetings probably were, but not as bad as that I can remember them, right? So it was a stage, it was a phase. We overcome it, we're fine. Actually, a lot of interesting things for me professionally came that people became more concerned with this growth thing and this consumer thing, because consumers were changing. Growth was an imperative because they couldn't be physical with their clients also. So it was very profitable for me. I kept on my work more than I would have thought. Up to a point that, for instance, today I stay a lot more on the house than I used to stay before, because I have lots of meetings over Zoom, for instance, or Google Meets, my best friend. I have a child that started working just recently, just 2 months ago, actually. And one of these days she looked at me and said, "So how did you do these meeting things before?" I said, "Before what?" "Yeah, before COVID. I mean, before Zoom. You didn't meet as often, did you?" And I said, "Yes, of course we did. But then you had to go from one room to another, or from one place to another. How could you be in so many places at the same time?" I said, "Well, we had traveling time considered, right?" And she looked at me like, "Wow, that's interesting, right? We didn't have Zoom before. We didn't even know what Zoom was, right?" I mean, in the pandemic, in it, it was absolutely survival. Absolutely, at all levels. So for instance, if we didn't have Wi-Fi, everybody would go crazy. I think it was even worse than not having water. It's absolutely imperative that each one of us has a laptop. You do basically everything in your laptop. Your laptop is a window to the world. It allows you to shop, it allows you to meet, it allows you to work in the old sense of way, like a spreadsheet or PowerPoint presentation or whatever, right? But it's really your connection to the world. I don't even think how we could have overcome this period without technology at all levels. And I'm speaking of just tech, as we are here, as a computer, Wi-Fi, cell phone, but we have all sorts of technology that make your life easy, right? You cook and you might as well want a sophisticated oven that doesn't have smells because you're in the house more often, right? You have vacuum cleanings that they might not be noisy because you don't want to do a lot of noise because, again, everybody is in the house and so on and so forth, right? So technology at all levels was absolutely essential if you're moving indoors. I think some habits came for good, at least for me. I do Zoom, as I said, much more often. I was very addicted to online shopping. It's just that now it's just a common thing. So it's like my first thought is I'll check it on Amazon. I'm not going to think I'll check it on the web store. So that's kind of my normal way of approaching a need that I have. some things that I cannot get online, it really annoys me, the fact that online will not work that out for me. Deliveries, of course, deliveries are very, very, very relevant. Very relevant. Uber Eats was something of extraordinary during those times again, and it's really very good that we had Uber Eats at that time and still have it. So that was something that I now enjoy, staying at home more often. Even if I could go out on Sunday, maybe I'll just consider go on Uber Eats and, well, just enjoy that peaceful and quiet in the house, and you don't have to go into the busy, noisy city. I actually know a moment that really that will stay with me during this time, and it's very clear. It was I think it was the first meal I had together with the children when they realized they were going to stay at home. Every single then one of them had a concern, right? So what will happen here? What will happen about this? And how are we going to do this and that? So very practical things. But two of the kids, they were 16 at the time. So they're now 18. Yeah, they were 16. They looked at us and said, so when this happened, when did this happen to you before? And we said, it never happened to us. So what did you do when you were locked down on the house, when you were our age? And we said, we were never locked down. We looked at them and we said, no, we were never locked down. We never went through such a moment in life, right? It really hit me, right? Because I didn't know what to answer. And he kept looking at me and said, never, ever? So you mean to tell me that this never happened before in your life? I say, well, no, we don't have that experience, okay? We're gonna have it together. So that was a really specific moment. And then we have 3 months later, a great moment that was kind of the panic sort of type, right? So yeah, we don't think it's going to be that serious, but as a matter of fact, we don't know, right? And you have to face your child and say, we don't know. We don't know what to do. It's going to be okay, but we don't know. The other moment that we felt very intensely, it was the birth of my niece. She was born mid-April, and we had been locked down since mid-March. And of course, that nobody could be there, nobody could visit her, and she's the latest niece. She's now two, of course, but since we couldn't move to each other's house to see the baby, right, and you could barely know what was happening, my sister-in-law, she had to go by herself to the hospital because the father couldn't be with her. Nobody could be with her, right, because hospitals were a place not to go at that time. And then when she was born, they toured the houses of the family to show the little baby, right? And then we looked at her and we thought, okay, so this is hope, right? In the middle of something very crazy, life shows up. Babies are still being born. So it was a lovely moment. It was really good.
Thank you for listening. Subscribe so that you don't miss an interview. I interview multiple people a week, and I am releasing these episodes as fast as I can. And if the story meant something to you, share it, because it will probably mean something to someone else. Every time you share the project, it helps the project grow. So thank you. Until next time, stay safe, stay well.